Chapter 3. Whistling for the dogs, I darted out the front door, the crashing of the waves and the wind obliterating the last remnants of staccato bickering emanating from the dining room. I rubbed the back of my neck, joints sore from swiveling from one point of view to the other. To spend time with Greer and Camp was to experience firsthand the effects of a ping-pong marathon between two warring countries. Breathing deeply of the ocean air, my sighs of blessed release mingling with the sweet music of songbirds, I chased Vera to the far reaches of the garden, to the grassy tree-lined area near the little barn, the horses watching from the paddock. I threw a ball for her, the only one of the bunch young enough to still see the value in fetching.
Riddle!
My father appeared from around the corner of the house and called out to me from several yards away, clearly annoyed.
Do you have any idea what's happened to my navy blue socks? Dozens of socks and I can't find a matching pair.
I shook my head and waited for what I knew was coming next.
Did you notice the cobwebs in the living room? It's like we live in some neglected Romanian castle. Why in the hell I'm spending valuable time looking for socks and knocking down cobwebs?
He turned around, cheeks flushed, and headed back toward the house. He was more upset than I suspected. Whenever Camp started looking for socks or complaining about cobwebs, it was time to seek refuge in the nearest underground shelter. I flopped down in the long grass, the basset hounds panting and jolly and curled up around me, cocooning me with their warmth. Sometimes, alone with my dogs and my horse, I felt as if I was the only person in the world. It wasn't an unhappy